Blog Talk Radio.
It's 2019 and you're listening to Totally Driven Radio.
So damn huggable.
I love you.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. Ladies and gentlemen, good evening, and thank you for tuning into our Thursday night programming of Totally Driven Radio. But why wouldn't you tune into the greatest show heard all around the world?
What's going on? That's right, Totally Driven Thursday, Bay Ragney here. Flying solo tonight. How about that? It's a weird thing. Something I'm not used to doing. So, for you people tuning in who were not on my Facebook Live that I was just doing before we go live here every Thursday, I was telling all my friends, you can give some prayers, good vibes, you know, whatever. Good mojo, whatever, good juju, whatever you do to pass on the goodness to people and get well wishes. Can you please do that for Nick, Nick Wilkinson, my co-host? He's actually been in the hospital the last few days. He's been battling like on and off like all year long. Actually, might be even longer than a year now. Some major stomach issues, and they think they finally figured out the problem. And he's been in the hospital since, what's today, Thursday? So I think since Monday he was rushed in the hospital. But the scary part is, out of all that, he sends me a selfie of himself in the hospital bed yesterday. And he looks, for a dude who's, like, sick, and I know he's been going through a lot of stuff, he looks good. He looks good. And he put a picture up of himself earlier today, actually, and he said, he could be going home. If he was able to eat solid food and keep it down, he'd be going home. And yesterday, the first bit of food he had eaten since he had been there was water ice, which he said was amazing. again, good prayers, thoughts, vibes, well wishes. Please send him out to Nick Wilkinson. I hope he gets better soon. But he was actually thinking if he got out today, he was going to be, getting out and coming and doing the show, which is truly, I would say, it is either the definition of totally driven or the definition of totally crazy. or a hybrid of both, which is a good combination as well at sometimes. But anyway, Nick, I love you, bro, and I hope you're feeling better, and I truly hope they don't have to do that surgery. Wow. So we're flying solo. So I'm going to be flying solo for the first half hour here. So if you want to give a call in, a little conversation, 718-508-9883. Call in. Tell me what you got. I got two guests lined up for the show tonight, which we're going to be – it's going to be a fun show. It is. So the first guest coming up at 8:30. Actually, we've talked about it in the last few weeks. If you haven't heard, I've started doing I've teamed up with this app, and it's called the Good Talk app. So go to your little store on your phone, whether it's iTunes or Google Store, and look for the Good Talk app and download it. And Thursdays at 3 p.m., we have what's called the Wrestling Rumble, where myself, I conduct the half-hour conversation, text conversation, and anybody can join in. All you got to do is just text right now or whenever, text wrestling to 22415, and that will get you included into the conversation, and you can chime in, and all you got to do is text. And you text questions in, or just whoever is my guest, or whoever we're all talking about, you can chime in the conversation, ask questions. It's a lot of fun. So we're doing that on Thursdays at 3 p.m. And the first one I did was 3 weeks ago. And I had a guest on there by the name Darren Polterwitz. He's an author, also a podcaster of the Potrocast. But Darren co-wrote a book which recently came out called Good Advice from Professional Wrestling. So we had a blast. I mean, an absolute blast doing this text thing. And he's got a lot of similar interests as myself, whether it's music or wrestling. And we just had such a good fun time. So I linked up with him on the good old world of Facebook and asked him to come on the show so we can talk about the book, talk music, and just have a good old time. It was a good texting conversation. So it'll be a whole new ballgame to actually physically talk and not have to text things out, even though if I remember correctly, he did the heel turn, and he cheated and used the talk-to-text. So there you go. There's no talk-to-text tonight. It's just talk-to-talk. So we're going to talk-to-talk tonight, and you can get his book. He's got two books out there, but the most recent one, like I said, it's called Good Advice from Professional Wrestling. He co-authored it with DX Ferris, and it's available on Amazon. You can get the paperback version or what's that thingamajiggy called on their Amazon tablet thing. I don't even know. But get the book. Get the actual book. And thanks to Darren, I actually have a copy of the book. So we're going to talk to him and find out about not only the book, but his career, writing, and everything else. So it's going to be a fun conversation. And then speaking of fun conversation, after we talk to Darren, there's this killer band out there. And I can't even say they're new, but they're new to a lot of us thanks to the world of Sirius XM Radio. They're called Any Given Sin. And they have this amazing song that's been getting major, major airplay on Sirius XM Octane. And it's called Dynamite. And you might even think, like, initially when you listen to it, it's Shinedown. Like, that's what I thought. But then I was like, you know, because you with the world we're in now, you can read your screen on your radio, thank God, and know who the band is and what the name of the song is. And next thing you know, they're going to start putting lyrics up there, and people are going to be crashing their cars like crazy because they're going to be trying to read the lyrics and do karaoke while they drive. But that's a whole nother story. So I had to reach out to these guys. I played them 2 weeks ago here on the show because I wanted Nick to hear them because, we do these top five music countdowns, and Shinedown had come up in our countdown. I was like, dude, there's this killer band. They're called Any Given Sin, and they're, you know, getting all this airplay, and I want you to hear this song. And I played it for him, and he loved it. So I was like, you know what, I got to reach out to them. So I did, and boom, here they are. They're tonight, 9:15. We're going to be talking to lead singer Vic Ritchie from Any Given Sin. They're here from out here on the East Coast. They're from the Maryland, Virginia area. So we're going to find out all about Any Given Sin, Dynamite, Sirius XM Octane, and what's happening in the future. Because I predict big things for this friggin' band. Big, big things. And yeah, I'm excited for them. And I'm sure they're freaking excited too. So that's going to be at 9:15. And then like I said in my Facebook Live talk, after that, we will probably, I'll probably wrap up and call it a night because, no reason to sit here for the full 3-hour show and listen to myself babble about stuff by myself. It's not as much fun without Nick here. You know, it's kind of like just, you know, I like to have that interaction. So, so there you go. So, today's a weird, not a weird day, but it's kind of like a sad day in history of passings where we had a musical legend pass away 9 years ago today. And we had a, for many of you that do know, I was involved in the world of professional wrestling. I was one of the original Dudley brothers. I was Chubby Dudley, but there was my big brother, Mr. Big Dick Dudley, who actually passed away. It was 17 years ago today, which is kind of scary. And, you know, I was looking up things about him and going through and remembering some stuff. And it's kind of like hard to believe he was only 34 years old. I mean, at such a young age to die, he seemed older. You know what I mean? Like it was a lot more, he just came across older to me. And he was actually only 2 years older than me. So right now he'd be 51 years old. So kind of scary. But thoughts, prayers, you know, go out to Big Dick's family. His real name was Alex Rizzo. He was an amazing dude. He really was. He was a nice guy. You know, he had this big character, bigger than life character, and he just, you know, this mean, nasty character, but he was the exact opposite. He truly was of that. He was truly a really nice, like a gentle soul. He really was. And he's missed. He's truly missed. And I'm sure, like, I only knew him for a short time, but I know, his family and friends truly do miss a wonderful guy. So, let's go out to Big Dick Dudley, Alex Rizzo. You're missed, bro. You truly are. So, and like I started that off. So 9 years ago today, a musical legend we lost due to cancer. And I can't say this enough, but fuck cancer. Really, I hate cancer so much. It's taken so many people from my life, and so many people. You know, I see daily on social media that I know going through a battle of cancer. It just sucks. But Mr. Ronnie James Dio, we lost 9 years ago today. And, such a amazing, amazing voice, talent, legend, musical icon, whatever you want to say, Ronnie James Dio is all of that and more. And I want to play a Dio song. I truly want to play like my favorite Dio song, and I felt it was even better to play. It was weird, like so. Ronnie James Dio in I think the first time was 84 or 85 when he played the Philadelphia Spectrum here in Philly, and they did a video for it. It was on the Last in Line tour, and then they came back in 86 for the Sacred Heart tour, and played Spectrum again, and he recorded it again for a video release. And I was actually there, which was kind of cool. And I was going through and watching some of the video clips today on YouTube. And actually, Rough Cut opened the show for that. So amazing band. If you never heard them, check them out. They were actually at the same time managed by Ronnie's wife, Wendy Dio. But so I want to play my favorite Dio song to remember the legend himself. And this is live from the Philadelphia Spectrum in 1986 from the Sacred Heart Tour. And this is called Don't Talk to Strangers.
Here's a track from DOLB number one. The song is called Don't Talk to Strangers. Whoa.
The words make no memory.
Ronnie James Dio, live from the Philadelphia Spectrum. There he is.
Thank you!
No, thank you, Ronnie. Thank you. What a very valuable life lesson.
No strangers in this building.
Ah. That's right. Oh, man. Crazy. 9 years already he's been gone. What a voice. So a little tiny guy with a voice that was just made him 7 foot tall. Really amazing, amazing. It's scary to think. Like I can still picture, like, literally, I can still picture being that 16-year-old kid, Philadelphia Spectrum, on the floor, looking up at the stage, seeing that show, and just being blown away. Amazing times, yeah. So, all right, so we're going to have more amazing times tonight with everybody. Like I said, first guest will be calling in about 10 minutes, Darren Polchowitz, author of Good Advice from Professional Wrestling. And coming up after that, the band Any Given Sin, lead singer Vic Ritchie. Check them out. Check out that tune, Dynamite. It'll blow you away, for sure. But something that really blew me away, that I just found out before we went live on air, ex-WWE star Ashley Massaro passed away, 39 years old. Cause of death not revealed, which is not a good sign. I hope it's not what I think it is. Yeah, early this morning, died early this Thursday morning. Such a shame. 39 years old. All these young. Oh, boy. I was just looking, too, because I'm doing this wrestling convention coming up in a few weeks up in Rhode Island. And I could have swore she was a guest on the show, but I guess I'm mistaken as I'm going through the lineup. I don't see her. Or wait. No, it's not her. Okay. No. I saw a couple blondes, and I thought one of them was her, but it's not. Shame. Thoughts go out to her her family, friends, fans. Rest in peace. Another one. Gone way too soon. Such a shame. Wow. Yeah, and here it is. All the news is getting passed around now throughout social media. Shame. So, we got to come up with some good. Can we have some happy news? Like, really? Like, we need some good news, some happy news. Like, come on, people. Make something happen. Positive, good, totally driven. Let's turn that frown upside down, right? You know what I mean? Like, just too much wacky stuff going on in this world anymore. This world, the country, wherever you're living, just complete wackiness. Everybody losing their freaking mind. Everybody needs to read good books, watch good TV shows, and listen to good music. And we're trying to supply everybody with that tonight. So, oh boy, yeah. Come on, tune in to Totally Driven Radio. We'll teach you how to smile, be totally driven, and have a good time. So there you go. We're going to do it all just for you. So, you know, usually on the show, too, we like to discuss our favorite TV shows. And this week has been season finales for two of our favorite shows, Nick and myself. And I can't discuss them, and I will not discuss them without Nick, because I know, for one, Nick hasn't seen them yet, and Nick's not here. And, you know, the shows are Flash and Arrow for all you superhero fans out there. And if you're a fan of the show, either of those shows, I got to tell you, and I'm going to be honest, I was, like, so emotional from Arrow. Like, I was telling Nick yesterday, I'm like, it had me so broken up at the end of that. The next day, I tried to explain it to my wife, and I couldn't even finish telling, like, what happened, and I started crying. And then in the afternoon, I tried to tell my daughter, and I just started crying again. And so then I went to my therapist that night. It was for my weekly therapy session, and I'm trying to tell my therapist, and again, I just start crying. And I couldn't even finish what had happened, and I can't even talk about it right now because I got to wait for Nick. So next week, make sure to tune in and hear thoughts on Arrow. Maybe by that point, it'll be almost 2 weeks past, and I'll be able to discuss it without crying. That'll be a true test. I don't know. We'll see. You have to tune in next week and find out. I would love to know people's feelings, though, if you were a fan. Like, it's killing me. I want to talk about it so bad. Yeah. But we can't. Nick, get out of the hospital, bro. Come on. Go watch those shows. Get better. Oh, man, oh, man. So, yeah. So we got, I just looked over my notes and I saw my first question for Darren. It should be funny. Yeah. So, scrolling through social media here, seeing what's trending beside sadness. Let me see here. Ric Flair, another thing. Ric Flair in the hospital, was rushed to the hospital this morning, but it turned out, you know, I've heard conflicting stories, but I think it was his son-in-law put out that it was actually like a scheduled procedure that he was having done. There was like one of them bogus websites put out a story, you know, it was Ric Flair's brain dead and all. It's just like, stop. Don't even click on the link. It's bogus. It's bull. And I say this all the time when it comes to like celebrity death or, you know, that stuff like that's happening. The number one news source that I always go to verify anything, believe it or not, is TMZ. That's where I go to confirm my celebrity, health and death, notices. Is TMZ. So give a shout out to TMZ. And actually, I love that friggin' show. It cracks me the hell up. I sit and watch that every night, and that cast of characters they have there just cracks me the hell up. It's so funny. So yeah. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. I would love to sit like in the studio, and they're like, it's not even really technically a studio, I guess. It's their like offices, but they seem like such a fun bunch of guys and girls, like whole crew. And the ball breaking that goes on in the midst of all of them, it's just hysterical. It really is. So, yeah, I can't, oh, yeah, yeah, like I can't wait to sit and watch tonight's show. I do. That's part of my nightly routine before I go to bed. I have to watch the evening local news up through 11:30, and then watch TMZ and see what shenanigans are going on in the world of entertainment, whose balls are they breaking, and their own balls they're breaking of each other. So it's always an interesting time on TMZ. So let me just double check in, make sure our guest is in. Okay. I'm waiting on our guest. He should be calling in any minute. And as I'm scrolling through to see about news stories, you know what? It's how hard it is to really try to find like positive news stories. Let me check our good old Blabbermouth site. Let's see what's happening there. Gene Simmons visited the White House. Let's see. Ozzy's announced rescheduled Hollywood Bowl concert for 2020. It's like over a year away. It's, I don't know. It's scary. I really got to read this article. This one cracks me up. Tim the Ripper Owens did an interview recently, and he said, I don't think Yngwie Malmsteen likes me anymore. It's so funny. I did an interview the other day with drummer John Macaluso, who used to play with Yngwie, and he told some funny Yngwie stories. He had me rolling hysterically. Oh, what a character that guy is. Amazing talent, but, you know, a little off. He's actually playing here in the Philly area. When is that? The 25th in Ardmore, Pennsylvania. Yeah. Too funny. Yngwie J. Malmsteen. It's mind blowing. Like if people don't know that, like Yngwie is actually a singer now as well, which kind of just it strikes me as odd, little weird, little blown away, I don't know. Yngwie J. Malmsteen. What more can you say? So all right. So our guest, I could be him. Let's see. Is this the one and only my new good friend, Mr. Darren Polchowitz?
Wow, I get to talk right after Yngwie Malmsteen discussion. Whoa!
So you know it's funny. Like I'm my first question I was going to ask you was, so are you not a fan of Pretty Boy Floyd?
Oh, that's quite a million-dollar question right there. And must I say, it is an honor and pleasure to be speaking with you, man. Pretty Boy Floyd gets that reputation for being, like, the worst hair band. And I don't know, even the worst hair band is still pretty good by me.
I'm with you. I always loved Pretty Boy Floyd. Believe it or not, like, it might scare some people, but like when they come to Philly, I'm still one of those 100 people in the crowd there cheering them on.
Yeah, and come on, credit goes to them for inspiring Ugly Kid Joe.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, it's hysterical when you think about that story.
Absolutely, and then it's even funnier to think that the singer of Ugly Kid Joe was then the singer of Life of Agony for a while. You know, when you sometimes have these people who join bands that never in a million years would you think that they'd want to do them. Like when Billy Joe Armstrong from Green Day and Norah Jones did an EP together, you're like, what, huh, them?
Right. you know, it's funny, like, from doing this show, you know, like you've done many, many celebrity interviews over the years, and sometimes you end up becoming friendly with some of these people and maintain relationships. And one of those people for me was, or is, ex-MTV VJ, Karen Duffy. And Karen used to date people like George Clooney, but before she dated George Clooney, she dated Whitfield Crane, the lead singer of Ugly Kid Joe.
Huh. You know what? It amazes me with Ugly Kid Joe that they're sort of like a one-hit wonder here, and how big, I guess two-hit if you say Cats in the Cradle, but how big they were in Europe. Like, they're not a one-hit wonder. They do big tours over there. And I'm always super intrigued by big in Japan stories and big in Europe stories. And then also finding out by the same token, like the band Bush, who probably sold like 15 million records in America, mean nothing in England.
Really?
There's just a long list of those kinds of artists that in their home turf, not so much. And then isn't Def Leppard, you know, not at all a big deal in England?
I mean, you would think they're like saints in England.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they are 100% an American kind of thing. And it had to do with having American management and that song Hello America and landing some big American tours. And then you'll find like other – you'll find American bands that, you know, mean very little here and then a ton in Canada. I have always loved that kind of stuff. It's not just Mr. Big. They're not the only American band that's big in Japan and then, you know, lesser here.
You know, it's really interesting, though, because – I mean, I have this discussion so much with the musical artists who are just that, like, you know, years ago they were really big here, but now, you know, like that Pretty Boy Floyd thing where they're playing clubs to 100 people, maybe 200 people, but they go over to England and they're still, or Europe, they're still like drawing like really nice, decent sized crowds. And it kind of like confuses and baffles me at the same time.
Well, you could also draw that parallel to wrestling. Do you listen to Eric Bischoff's podcast at all? And feel free to say no.
You know what? I do not. I do not.
Okay. He was talking about running into Jeff Farmer, a.k.a. NWO Sting, when he was in Japan recently, and how Jeff Farmer has had an amazing 20, 25-year career in Japan just being NWO Sting. I guess it has to do with them going, well, you know, he's one-tenth the price of real Sting. Looks like Sting. Okay. And you have to wonder, like, how many things went down that way. I'd heard, you know, I have no way of knowing this is true or not, but Aerosmith, like, got their really big push. No, I'm using a wrestling term. They soared to popularity, we'll say that way, in Japan. Because the promoter went, well, it's cheaper than bringing the Stones out, you know, in the 70s. And you have to wonder, you know, how many waves of popularity or long-term careers happened because somebody realized, well, it's cheaper if we do this and we have our own homegrown talent.
That's true. That's really true. I never heard that story. That's a true story? I never.
The Jeff Farmer or the Stones Aerosmith one?
The Stones Aerosmith.
I remember that from MTV or VH1 documentary at least 15, 20 years ago. I mean, no one's going to want to tell that story now because Aerosmith want to call themselves, you know, America's most successful rock band of all time, which statistically they might be. But, you know, there's always value in going, who's somebody that's super talented but hasn't broken yet that we could be the company behind them and then they become our superstar? So my hunch would be that's why, you know, Mr. Big was always so big in Japan. Do you know what I'm talking about, or is this just like so far-fetched?
Oh, no, I totally know what you're talking about. Believe me, I know what you're talking about.
good for us, sad overall, I would say to that.
Yeah.
But that's why I'm like Richie Kotzen and anyone that ever played with Mr. Big or any Mr. Big side product is just massive in Japan, or at least, you know, you could earn just a great living off of being a Mr. Big guy.
You know, it's funny. I just got an email the other day. Like, I have two longtime friends from going back to high school I'm still very close with. And we all grew up in that whole, you know, 80s era of hair bands and music and all that. And we've played in bands together over the years. I got an email. We always have, like, these three-way emails going. And the other day, it was Richie Kotzen. It was a video of Richie Kotzen. And my buddy was just like, I never truly realized how amazing this guy was.
Yeah.
And he really is. It's one of them things, too. Like, I remember back in the day. And, you know, I think part of it, too, was, you know, when he hooked up with Poison. But then you heard the story years later on VH1's
Behind the Music.
Behind the Music. How he screwed Ricky Rocket's wife or something. Or
the fiance and whatnot, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it just kind of like left a bad taste in everybody's mouth, I think, and kind of like blackballed him a little bit. But he's come out of it and stood on his own, man.
Oh, man, that guy's career is so much bigger than you realize. Because, yeah, he did the Poison thing, whatever, fine. They had one top 40 hit, fine. Then he joined Mr. Big, which wasn't a huge deal here, per se. He took over for Paul Gilbert the couple of years Paul Gilbert was out of the band. And it's like, yeah, they had, you know, an Atlantic Records album, whatever. Overseas, huge deal. Then, yeah, what was the band he had after that? He had some band that I'm blanking on. Then his solo career super took off in Japan. Like, solo records that are doing really well. In that, I guess they realized, like, hey, this is a guitar hero that we can afford that's ours as much as we want. Then he formed the Winery Dogs, you know, with Billy Sheehan for Mr. Big and Mike Portnoy. And now he's one of those guys that, you know, he goes between solo, the Winery Dogs, this all-star thing, that one. And I think that he is the total package. You got a guy who can shred, but tastefully. Like, he can tone it down. He could do the blues thing when he wants. He can sing. He could do the power pop thing. He looks cool. He's well-spoken. And super famous in some circles. And then I think the average person walking down the street said, hey, you ever heard of Richie Kotzen? Who? You know, they don't know who he is, but he sold millions of records.
It's crazy. Now let me ask you this, because this is what I said to my buddies in that email, and this is something I felt like. If Soundgarden ever decided to do, like, not a reunion or anything, but just kind of like maybe like a tribute show or something to remember Chris Cornell, I felt that Richie Kotzen would be the amazing fit to take Chris Cornell's spot for that one show or whatever you want to call it.
I never had that thought, and I think that's a great idea. I haven't heard him do a ton of higher register vocals, which is, I guess, key for a Soundgarden kind of thing. But, you know, he looks cool. He could do the frontman thing. He can do the brooding thing. That's a great idea. And, like, how into Alice in Chains are you? Because people who like 80s bands, they can go either way.
Yeah. You know what? Last week, like, usually we do my co-host Nick, who is actually in the hospital right now, we do these top five music countdowns. Mm-hmm. And last week it was our top five favorite unplugged songs. And my number one
is
Alice in Chains, Down in a Hole.
That is the best unplugged ever. Yep. I don't think anyone can rightfully ever dispute that.
Absolutely.
And I think that they successfully did the replacement lead singer thing. They sound awesome. They look awesome. And also, I give total credit to Alice in Chains, the way that they broke in the new singer, where at first they were like doing sort of an Alice in Chains plus people, like they were working in some different people paying tribute. I see no reason why Soundgarden couldn't do that kind of thing. Like, you'll never fill Chris Cornell's shoes. It's just impossible. But if they said, hey, we're going to announce a tour and bring out some of our famous friends, and, you know, maybe Eddie Vedder's not available, maybe Jerry Cantrell's not available, but I think that the way that the MC5 did that kind of thing, it's totally feasible, and I think everyone would be psyched to see it.
I agree. The weird thing is, too, like, the music fan to me years ago would probably be maybe, like, angry about it or, you know, discouraged by it. But now I really look at it from where the business standpoint, not even, like, you know, financially, just to make money off of, like, you know, that dead rock star or dead celebrity. But from the business standpoint that, you know, people seem to forget that this is these guys' profession. This is their job, you know, and now their earning is stopped because of this tragedy. And, you know, they have the right to go on and still try to make a living for them and their families.
That is an excellent, excellent point. As the Iron Sheik would say, you ask excellent, excellent question, Dan Maroney. Not that you asked a question, but I think that you really hit the nail on the head that the concept of selling out is so outdated and so pointless. And if you're a musician, you got to play music to earn a living. Make your album every year to 2 years, play your, you know, 50 to 200 gigs in support of that album. Be there for your fans. Give people entertainment. You know, for some people, when they go to your concert, that is their escape. That is the best part of their day or week or month or whatever. So, you know, snobby people be like, oh, well, Chris Cornell was so much better. Well, I'd still like to hear those songs played live and not at a karaoke bar.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So I mean, one band, I wish now, I guess three of them are gone. I would love a Traveling Wilburys, like, reunion or something. Are you into them at all? And it's cool if you're not.
You know what? Like, I'm not into them, but I get it. Like, you know, I have listened to them, like, in their heyday, and I got it. Like, it wasn't, like, something I would go out of my way for.
I think one day the Wilburys thing is going to hit you, and you're going to go, oh, man, this is the coolest thing ever. Because you get, you know, some people are Dylan fans, some people aren't. Fine. Some people love ELO, some don't. Everyone loves George Harrison. Everyone loves Roy Orbison to an extent, even Danzig, and Danzig doesn't love a lot of stuff. everybody loves Tom Petty to an extent. And so you get like five guys, and Tom Petty was like the baby in that band pretty much. But you get five guys that get together and go, hey, we want to play the kind of rock and roll that we grew up on. This will be fun. And it wasn't about hits, yet the songs were still super catchy. And I say there's no reason you can't get like a cool all-star band or collective or something of those guys like just playing what they want and it being fun and that energy coming out.
You know, and that's the good part of the music business today, no matter like how bad it is. We can get things like that today because these musicians can kind of like guide their own future and do what they want to an extent.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, with home recording, it's a curse and a blessing because of course now it puts great studios and producers and engineers out of business. Cause hey, I can get that sound quality at home. Why do I need to rent a studio for $1,500 a day and pay for this and pay for that? And granted, your product is probably inferior, but at the same time, you know, you can have an idea and have it completed within the matter of minutes or hours if you try. So that's where, you know, work ethic and all that comes into play. And there's, you know, you go into a bar and you let people talk and you'll hear, ah, music today sucks. It's not as good as it once was. Weezer used to be better. You'll hear all these angry things. I think that there is more great music than ever. It's just the problem now becomes, how do you find it? How do you sift through the filter and find it? Mm-hmm.
It's really true. And it's very overwhelming now because there's so much out there. And I'm sure you get a lot of it presented to you too, with, you know, doing interviews and stuff like that. Like, my email gets filled up daily with, you know, can you review this, interview this, you know, it's just so much. And it's just like, whoa, like, slow down. Like, somebody stop the merry-go-round for a minute, please. Like, it's just so much, and it's very overwhelming.
Yeah, there's no shortage, because anyone can have any thought and immediately get it out. And that's, again, an amazing thing and a terrible thing at the same time. And accessibility is there, and there's no right or wrong. But more days, you know, most days I come across, or I shouldn't say come across, I think of things very optimistically, because there is so much entertainment. There's more great entertainment than there is time to actually enjoy it. There's more great food and restaurants and concepts than there is time to enjoy, more calories than you have space for. There's more everything, but cutting through the garbage becomes a task, because let's say something just gets the praise of somebody you really respect. Sometimes you got to go, oh, no, that's just their friend.
Yeah.
That's just their friend saying it's awesome. And that's a lot different than, oh, they just have a lot of money to get it on the radio. You know, it used to be we had to sit through all the hits.
Yeah.
And, you know, watching 120 minutes on MTV, that's how I found so many of my favorite bands of all time. But now we don't really have that, because you can just go into your own world with Pandora or Spotify, what have you. So, you know, same deal with wrestling. Honestly, we could name wrestlers right now that – half this fan base would go like, I think I've heard that name, but I've never seen them.
Yeah. You know, it's funny how much the wrestling world and the music world are so much alike.
Those worlds, comedians, podcasts, it's
yeah.
all the same, cut from the same cloth, and horror. It's really just such a huge overlap.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. I didn't even think about, you know, with the comedy, but you're absolutely right.
I mean, they're personas, right? I mean, how many comedians do you meet who are funny off stage or want to be funny off stage? Very few.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
And then how many wrestlers do you meet that, when they're not, you know, in the ring, want to be doing stunts or want to be in character or cutting a promo? It's kind of like, oh, you saw me? Cool. Thanks.
Right. Can I go hide now?
Yeah. Hey, you know it. It's weird that I find the majority of actors, if they're used to playing like villains and evil characters, they tend to be the nicest guys. A couple of podcasts ago, I had William Zabka, Billy Zabka, whatever you want to call him, from Cobra Kai, and just one of the guys, like the quintessential 80s bad guy, like in the late teens, early 20s sect. The nicest, greatest guy. You could talk to him for 3 hours. He likes the same bands we do.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
And then, meanwhile, you know, when I interviewed last year or so, the bassist of the Eagles, you know, laid back band, not a nice guy.
Whoa.
That was a heartbreaker, you know?
Whoa. Yeah. Like, I haven't had too many bad experiences interview-wise.
Good. Isn't it weird that fame doesn't equate to willingness to do interviews? Like, somebody like Gene Simmons will do 20 interviews a day, and then other people who are much less successful don't have time, or their publicist is vetting you and going, how many listeners do you have? No, he's not available. But you just told me he's doing press. Change in schedule.
Or how about, how much is this paying?
Oh, yeah. Buff Bagwell tried to get me to pay me. He tried to get me to pay him to interview him. And my pitch was, hey, I would like to interview you. Just need 15 minutes. I'm going to turn it into two or three different articles or maybe a podcast. And I'm going to plug all your upcoming appearances and all that. Okay, man, how much are you going to pay me? Wait, what? I'm promoting you. You know
what's scary? I've actually, like, since I've stepped back into this whole crazy world of professional wrestling recently, so I've been getting a lot of interview requests. Mm-hmm. And I a few of them, they send the pitch to me to interview me, and then they want me to pay them an editing fee. I'm like, and I email them back. I'm like, what? Like, how dare you?
Well,
I'm like, you're
once a worker, always a worker, right?
Like, one person emailed me back all nasty. He was like, you didn't have to get nasty about it. I'm like, dude, I've been doing the same thing you're doing for 7 years now, and I've never once asked anybody for money. Like, I am so insulted.
Yeah. I see a name on my wall. I'm looking at an Alice Cooper poster that we have on our wall. And I was thinking about his interview with Marc Maron, where Marc Maron, you know, he was fanboying out, understandably so, because I think Alice Cooper is one of the most underrated performers in the history of performance. You don't have to agree about that, but if you check out his – right on.
Love it.
Your friend for
life. Seen him the last three tours. I'm going again in this August.
Even if it's the same exact set list, it's still a hell of a show. And you know, Marc Maron was going, did you ever meet the Stones? And Alice Cooper's like, yeah, the nicest guys. You ever meet the Beatles? Yeah, they were the nicest guys. And ultimately, you know, I guess the third or fourth time, he's like, you know, the guys at the top are the nicest because they have nothing to prove. And then you take a step back and go, wait a second. The guys at the top have nothing to prove, so they're not putting up this whole character or front. And so when I think of, like, how Gene Simmons getting to interview him, like, twice in a period of 2 years, and he's great, he's nice, ask me anything, what do you need, do you want a photo? And then there's other people, like, you know, your buddy, you were talking about Yngwie before. That was one of the worst interview experiences I ever had.
Oh, I can imagine. I can imagine.
Yeah. Hey, so what music have you been listening to lately? I don't listen to music. Really?
Oh, okay. I can see where this one's going.
Yeah. They say, like, don't meet your heroes. I don't know about that one, because I've had a lot of awesome ones, and I've had some less than awesome ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, the overlaps between, you know, music, comedy, wrestling, podcasts, I think that they're all attention span oriented things. Like, if you're going to hear somebody do a 7-minute bit, or Joe Rogan do a 3-hour podcast with Everlast, or, you know, listen to a whole album, it's all attention span. And that's why a lot of the people from these worlds get along so well, I think.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a real good point. And it's weird, like, now that I think about it, like, it answers a lot of questions. I feel like I'm in a therapy session now, Darren. I'm like, all my worlds are colliding there in one stroke. Music, wrestling, comedy, podcast, like, come on.
Could be worse, you know. So Darren, tell me about your new book. It's out. And your podcast, it's pretty great. How long have you been doing it? 2 months. You ever have one of those interviews before?
Oh, yes. Oh, please. It's just like, it's amazing how some people can just do that. Like, give you, like, these 3-word answers, or then some people can give you, like, a 30-minute answer for one question.
Did you ever do an interview with Doyle from the Misfits?
No.
He is going out of his way to be difficult and give you one-word answers. You're like, so have you ever played in Cleveland before? And you're expecting, you know, the person to go, oh, no, this is my first time in Cleveland. It's great to be here. Looking forward to playing for the fans. You'll go, Doyle, have you ever played in Cleveland? Yes. Can you tell me where you played in Cleveland? And he does it on purpose. And when you're going through it, it's painful. You feel like, oh, I'm dying. I can't use this interview. And then after it happens, you go, oh, man, no, this guy is great. This is like cross-training practically as an interviewer. Like, it's making you go, hey, don't ask have you, you know, kind of, or do you, yes or no kind of questions. You have to ask real questions or you're not going to get real answers.
You know what's weird, too? Like, with the whole Doyle thing, I remember it might be like 3-4 years ago, he was doing like a horror convention in South Jersey. And he was like one of the nicest guys. Like, there wasn't a big crowd of people around him, but like the ones that were coming up to him, he was so interactive with them and so nice. And I remember because a buddy of mine was at the table next to him, so I was hanging out BSing and all. I was just watching the whole interaction going on. And I was really impressed. Like, it really left an impression on me about him. And then when I've heard like what you're just saying and some other things that have come out in the press lately about him, I'm just like, whoa, what the hell happened to him?
Yeah, I think it's a persona character thing. The way that heels are generally the nicest people when you meet them, and then the baby faces more often than not are kind of prima donnas.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that one? Or
no, I do.
Yeah, and I think it's maybe you get the venom out of you, so you want to, whatever you were just doing when you were working, you kind of want to do the opposite. Maybe it's some of that, or maybe to be a good heel, you have to, and I say this as a non-wrestler, of course, so, you know, if it's disrespectful, I apologize to anyone I've disrespected, but maybe it takes, you know, being the best baby face to know how to be a good heel, if you get what I'm saying. Like, you understand the whole big picture and the psychology.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, I, again, thought, like, when it's going on and you're watching other people interview Doyle, like, in other words, they go, like, okay, I'll get 5 interviews done in 20 minutes because none of you are going to want to talk to me. You're going through and going, oh, this sucks. Kind of a prick. And then afterwards you go, oh, no, it's a character. He's grumpy because you hear interviews with him and he's a vegan and he's in a committed relationship and he's committed to working out and being in amazing shape. The shape he's in at 52 or whatever, like most people would kill to be in at 22.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So there's clearly work ethic and success and knowing what's going on. But of course that's going to get lost on people because they're going to go, he didn't hug me. Maybe he's in a bad mood.
It's probably, too, like he's trying to put that whole punk rock image over from, you know, the heyday of it.
Yeah, it could be. And, you know, we were talking about Alice Cooper before, and if you were an ignorant person, you would think, like, oh, man, he's scary, or, like, oh, he's evil. And they're like, nope, he's a Christian who doesn't drink, who plays golf every day.
Yeah.
And eats sushi. You know, he's not. It's a character. He can come in and out of the character like any good actor can. And so I guess, you know, the older I get, the more intrigued I get by the journeyman villains and the journeyman heels and seeing, like, they have better stories than anybody.
Right. And there's lots of stories out there to tell, which we got to hear about this book. Like, the whole, come on. When I first heard the title, I was thinking back. Good advice from professional wrestling, because it made me stop and think. I'm like, is there really good advice that really comes from pro wrestling? And I was like, you know what? There actually is.
Thank you. The title of it is an adaptation from my co-author DX Ferris's prior book, Good Advice from Goodfellas. And I know you can agree that that is one of the greatest movies ever made.
Absolutely.
And I wound up interviewing him, and he made reference to DDP in one of the responses. It's like, wait, you're a wrestling fan? No, what? Really? Okay. And we talked a little more, and I said, why don't you do the same exact book but with wrestling? Any interest? And he's like, yeah, write it. Get it started. So I did, and I think he was expecting me to just drop the ball and not be motivated, because how many people do you meet that go, oh, I'm going to write a book about that. I'm going to write a screenplay. And then, you know, 7 years later, I'm going to write a book about that. I'm going to write a screenplay. I just went really, really heavy into it. And I started that in October, November, basically said to DX, like, we should get this out the week of WrestleMania. And all the credit goes to him to actually finishing it and making it happen. And pretty much I thought about who are some of the most successful people in the history of the wrestling business and what are their kind of regular patterns and the things that they did and what can we learn from them. And it's a collection of some of the greatest people of all time in terms of success and mainstream recognition, and also some of the upstarts, some of the new people on the scene from AEW and MLW.
You know, the first thing that's kind of scary about that whole situation is that so you met him from an interview, and then you guys end up writing a book together.
100% correct, yes.
That's freaking awesome. That is
That's 2019 for you. I don't think Mark Twain was collaborating with any of his readers. You know, I read DX's book, Good Advice from Goodfellas, and went, whoa, this guy is deep. But I think he put out 4 books last year. He put out that one. He put out a book about Slayer. He put a book out about Donnie Iris and the Cruisers. Wait, is it the Donnie Iris? What was Donnie Iris' backing band?
Ooh,
do you know who I'm talking about?
I know the name.
Hey, big hit, Olea or something like that. And I think Metallica covered it the last time they were in Pittsburgh. It's almost like a real-life Eddie and the Cruisers kind of thing.
The Cruisers, you're right.
Yeah, he wrote his story with them. And there was a 4th book. I'm blanking on what it is right now. And that's 4 books in a year. In a year. Like, how many people write 1 book in their life, and he wrote 4 in a year? And so seeing how prolific this guy is while doing other gigs and whatnot, that's amazing. And then seeing how he's glorifying Goodfellas in a way it should be glorified, you know, it's, I got to work with this guy. And then when he, you know, dropped that DDP quote, yeah. And so when we were halfway through writing the book, DX goes, so are we going to have a foreword? And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, I guess so. Well, who's going to write the foreword? What can you ask DDP? When he's not going to say yes, but what do I have to lose? And I asked him, and he said yes, and here we are.
That's awesome. And you know, that's perfectly fitting, too. I mean, that's the person that technically brought you guys together.
Yeah. You know what? I didn't put 2 and 2 together on that end. Yeah, totally. This has turned into a therapy session now on my end.
Now, when you asked DDP, did you tell him, like, what the idea of the book was and all?
Yeah, I told him it. I said, there'll be a couple of quotes from you in there. You'll be totally glorified. I don't think I even need to sell him. I think he gave me, like, an absolutely bro kind of email back. Have you ever met DDP?
That's a good question. I think I might have met him back in the day, you know, as he came through town in Philly.
Yeah.
When he was with WCW. But I've had him on the show a few times. And as a matter of fact, I'll play his bumper for you real quick.
Yo, monkeys, it's me, DDP. And you, well, you monkey, you're listening to Totally Driven Radio. And that's not a bad thing.
That's a good thing.
A good thing.
I knew that was coming. He said that in DDP Yoga a bunch. He's the greatest. And I say that because not only is he successful, not only is he personable, not only does he do everything he says he's going to do and more, but he actually tries to help people and succeeds in helping people. And it's not just Jake the Snake and Scott Hall he's helped out. It used to be like if you bought the yoga pro. Okay, he'll kill me if I called it yoga. If you bought the DDP yoga program, he's done that to me before. He's like, what is it? You know, oh, DDP yoga. Exactly. if you used to buy the program, he'd call you like a couple of minutes later. Now I think he's too busy to do that. But like if you were one of the people who's clearly like trying to lose 100, 200 pounds, you look at your phone, you see a 323 number, and you're like, hello? Hey, it's Dallas. Hey, how you doing, man? How's it going? I see you're doing the workouts. Like, what?
Yeah.
Show me one other wrestler or famous person that checks in on you.
Yeah, he truly is an amazing person, and what he's become and what he's made out of himself, it's kind of really mind-blowing.
Yeah, he's like the pretty boy Floyd of wrestling and yoga. No. Can't even make that joke. Yeah, he might become like more famous for DDP yoga than wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really scary. Like, you know, it's a good thing to see, though, too, because especially with professional wrestling, you know, with musicians, you know, usually the life after being a musician is being a musician. You know, they keep going on, and that's their career role. Where professional wrestling, you get to the point where you can't do it no more physically, and you have to hopefully come up with, you know, game plan number two or three. And some become authors or, you know, now podcast hosts or comedians or actors.
Yeah.
But he became this, you know, health nutritionalist, like, guru, and is, like, doing things where he's actually helping people. And it's something you really don't see in many fields of entertainment where this guy's really doing it.
Excellently said. And, you know, you can look at Taz's moving on into the radio podcast world, that's pretty inspirational because that's a guy who had, I'm assuming, neck or back issues, and he was an excellent talker, and he's doing awesome. He's built up this organic fan base without the WWE, without coasting on his ECW legacy for the most part. And the number of success stories isn't that high yet. I have a feeling that this current and the future wrestlers, I have a feeling that they're all going to transition into acting and podcasting. Like, it's going to be the norm. They're all going to be good on the mic. They're all going to be social media savvy. Like, do you know MJF?
No.
Okay, he's in MLW. He's one of the first signings they announced to AEW. He's a long-term star.
Okay.
Maxwell Jacob Friedman, MJF. And he's the heeliest of heels ever. He feuds with everybody on social media, and he's fantastic. And you look at a guy like that and you go, oh, he knows what's going on. It's not that he's a failed football player or a failed bodybuilder. He's a guy who loves wrestling, wants to wrestle, amazing talker, and he could transition that into anything he wants to do.
That's interesting. Yeah, like the whole modern era of pro wrestling, it's truly a different breed where the whole new generation is. First, I was just having this conversation earlier. I think it's going to be the future is truly going to be very female dominated in professional wrestling,
mm-hmm.
and where, you know, even going back to my days in the 90s, early 2000s. And going back to the 80s and so forth, where your wrestlers were all different styled or body typed, or, you know, you could be the self-proclaimed, like me, like fat guy, and get away with it and do things, or big or small, you know, it didn't matter what your build was, where now it's almost kind of cookie cutter the way a lot of the guys look. It's a whole new style now too. Like, a lot of stuff that was done 15, 20 years ago just will not work today. And where today it's a very, where the wrestling term work comes in, you have to work. There's a lot of work going on in those rings nowadays to really, you can't do a lot of gaga no more. You got to work to get over and keep your job, so to say.
I 98% agree with you. The 2% where I disagree is there's a number of gimmicks that have been working on the indie scene big time, and they're just like, it's almost like an inside joke turned into a career. So, like, if you look at what Joey Janela does, which is, it's a wink. It's 100% a wink. And you look at some of the stuff that Kenny Omega did before he was the Kenny Omega, also a wink. If you look at MLW, you do have AC Romero and Barrington Hughes. I think they say they're both like 400 or 500 pound guys, whatever it is. You know, they don't have the most versatile moveset, but it's like they're building up an attraction, an old school style, like, oh, I want to see the what does the big guy do? And it then becomes an amazing feat that the person body slammed or drop kicked the big guy. So it's in some ways niche oriented, almost like indie rock or punk rock. You know, wrestling fans can now be super snobby the way that Sonic Youth fans were in the late 80s or early 90s.
Oh, that's a good reference there.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. You used to have to justify why you liked bands and you had their patches or their pins and go, no, but no, seriously, they're good. And now I think that's kind of gone because everyone's just allowed to like their niche. But you're going to have people who snobbily call WWE the E. Have you heard that before? The E?
No. Not at all.
I've heard indie wrestlers. Oh, he's working at the E now. Like, come on, stop it. You
can't.
They
don't call it the Fed no more. Now it's the E.
I'm working in New York, bro. Oh, come on. Cut it out. I think it's a beautiful time to be a wrestling fan because let's say you only like the WWE style. Well, then you can watch that. Let's say you're nostalgic for the old-time stuff. So much of that is on the WWE Network. Plus, there's that great Viceland series. Plus, Cornette's got his podcast. And Vince Russo's got his podcast. And Lawler has his podcast. And, you know, there's people like Evan Ginsberg out there. He did that 350 Days documentary. He is associate producer of The Wrestler. Do you know Evan?
I do not.
He'd be perfect for your show. Great guy. Great New York guy. Associate producer of The Wrestler. He helped produce that 350 Days documentary with Billy Graham and whatnot. Yeah, you'll love it. But like, if you want the old stuff, just watch the old stuff. You want the new stuff, yeah. You want to see the Japan stuff, it's on demand. You want to see the Ring of Honor, it's on demand. You want to watch all of it, you want to watch MLW, AEW. You could watch 50 hours of new wrestling a week if you wanted to put that much of your life into it. Personally, I can barely get through Raw and SmackDown. That's too much of the E, as they call it, for me.
Yeah, too much E might not be too good for you.
Exactly. But, you know, always glad to connect with another person that gets the importance of not just wrestling, but also music and comedy.
Absolutely. You know, wrestling I've stayed away from for like the last like 16 years, 17 years. But I mean, music has always been in the forefront with me and comedy as well. Like, I'm going to a comedy show in 2 weeks. I'm going to music concerts constantly. Like, that's all my like loves. I'm going to wrestling again. So yeah.
What's the next comedy show and the next concert for you?
Okay, so you ready for this one? It's a comedy show. 2 weeks from tonight, I'm going to. One of my other loves growing up, believe it or not, was soap operas and General Hospital. And
yeah.
So a couple of the stars from General Hospital are going to be here in Philly doing a benefit comedy show. So I'll be going to that in 2 weeks from tonight. And when is the next concert I'm going to? That's a good question. Don't want to see friends of mine play in 2 weeks. Rat Rod. Oh, so I got tickets to see Kiefer Sutherland coming up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In the summer. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like what we were talking about before. There's an infinite number of great live shows and new releases and reissues of classic albums. There's no shortage. Just the issue is time. You know, if you want to spend all your time on that and then none of your time excelling in your career or having a good relationship with your partner or your kids or your family, that's on you. You do what you want. But it's such a great time to be a fan of entertainment, and it's such a great time for whatever your interest is. You could find books or podcasts on it like never before.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, real quick, because my next guest is holding, I'm going to throw one of these quotes out here that I marked off. Let me pick one. I hadn't marked off. Let me see. I think this.
You're not calling me a mark, right?
No. No. Okay, here's one of the ones that I marked off, I said. And this one's by Mark Henry. You can't tell people what to do if you're a failure. You have to be responsible, and you've got to lead by example.
Yeah, he said that to me when I interviewed him by phone about 6 months ago. WWE does not give me access to talent or performer interviews, but Mark was doing a thing for a Facebook series, and I went around and spoke to his entertainment publicist, and they granted me. And man, what a nice, accomplished guy who had a longer career than almost anybody, who was an accomplished athlete before the WWE, and he wants to be an actor. I have no doubt in my mind that he's going to cross over into the acting world.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, he's somebody, I mean, he was on the scene, it's probably about 20 years now, and I didn't think he would last as long as he did, and he got by being able to do that different character and get himself over, and many applause to him, and I love the advice he put into your book.
Absolutely, man. I hope to get to talk to him about other stuff next time, but great to have him in the book, and there's plenty more good stuff where that came from.
Absolutely. So, Darren, where should we send everybody to get the book and find out more about you and the podcast and everything else?
The book is on Amazon as an ebook and a paperback. If you just look for Darren Paltrowitz, think of Gwyneth Paltrow, but it's at the end. Darren Paltrowitz, and the podcast is The Paltrowcast with Darren Paltrowitz. New episode every other Wednesday. Just put my damn name online, and you'll find me.
There you go. He's at Paltrowitz.
At Paltrowitz. Thank you so much for having me, man. Love the show.
Absolutely.
Keep up the great work.
Thanks, Darren. You too, man. It was great connecting with you through all this stuff.
Likewise.
Take care, man.
You too.
Bye. Everybody, there he goes, Mr. Darren Paltrowitz. Check him out. He's got his website, paltrowitz.com. Look for the book on Amazon. Good advice from professional wrestling. And, social media, at Paltrowitz. Check him out. All right. So that leads us to guest number two. Let's get him on here. He's waiting patiently. The one and only Vic Ritchie. What's going on, brother? Any given sin.
What's happening, guys?
Dude. Yeah, I'm excited for this. I'm super excited for this. And I got to tell you, you guys are blowing up the charts, man. You got to be a little like, what the hell happened?
For sure. We're some small town guys, man, and we just it's been awesome. Very grateful.
I tell you what, first off, how much are you guys here? Do you hear like a lot of comparisons? Like, oh, they kind of sound like Shinedown.
I hear that a lot. I hear that. Sometimes I hear Chris Cornell. I'm happy with that. That was my idol, so I'll take either.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. You can't be insulted by either one of those compliments.
Indeed.
So, here's the wild thing. So I'm going back and I'm researching the band and I'm looking up stuff. And I'm seeing like there was a couple previous EPs. One of them was worked with John Moyer. And the one EP, Forbidden's on Spotify. And I've been listening to it as I'm getting ready for the interview. And then, you listen to the single Dynamite and you're thinking to yourself like, wow, like, there's a few years difference in between, but you're like, it's just a huge sound. And it just sounds so, the maturity level from the two and all. And then I go back and I find this old article and I'm like, oh, well, I think I discovered the hole between the maturity, the couple years difference. You might have been the missing piece, my friend. You weren't on that EP, I find out.
That's correct. Yeah, I got with Any Given Sin about 2.5 years ago. Me and Mike were good friends, and I was stepping out of another project and kind of rolled in with those guys, and we were at Dynamite and kind of went from there. And it was, it's been great.
Wow, that's wild. So were you guys friends for a long time or just like from the scene or?
From the scene at first, and then, we were in contact for, probably a couple years on and off about things. And Mike actually played for a little bit with the other group. And then When I had stepped out of that one, we, you know, just said, hey, let's write some songs and see what happens. And then Mike's like, hey, why don't we, you know, look at kind of restarting Any Given Sin and taking it in a new direction.
Wow. Well, it's an amazing direction.
Well, thanks, man. Appreciate that.
So now with Dynamite, like, how did you guys get it to the attention of, I'm guessing Jose took got hold of it, or somebody else at the powers that be over at Octane?
That's true. A magician cannot reveal his tricks. you know what I mean? Yeah, professional courtesy kind of forbids me from dropping names and things. You understand? but help of good friends and some new colleagues and, you know, some luck, I think, and getting to the right people. And our producer, you know, kind of landed us where we are.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
it's funny because, you know, I listen to, usually when I'm in the car, like I'm listening to, you know, Sirius XM Octane or one of the those channels in between, and or my Spotify or whatever. And, you know, they're playing the hell out of Dynamite. And I said to my co-host, who's actually in the hospital right now, I said to him 2 weeks ago, we were doing one of our music countdowns, and we had we both had Shinedown on our list. And I'm like, dude, there's this new band that's like, they're constantly playing on Octane. Like, you got to hear it. And I played Dynamite for him. He's like, oh my God, this is amazing. And I'm like, and that's, I was like, you know what? And I reached that night, I'm like, I got to reach out to them. I got to get them on the show. And here we are.
Here we are. Awesome, man. Yeah, we appreciate the support. Absolutely.
Now, you guys are like a couple hours down the road from me, down in like Maryland, Virginia area.
Correct.
Have you guys ever made it up to here to Philly, or?
Haven't made it to Philly. Love to make it to Philly. We are playing in Pennsylvania June 15th at the Doghouse in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania. That's actually like, that's a show that got canceled back in the wintertime because of snow, really bad snow. And then, so we're redoing it there. But yeah, we'd love to get out to Philly. We're working on filling the bill right now and the rest of the year, and we'll see what happens.
Nice. Now, are you guys working on a full length album right now, or an EP, or like what's going on musically?
Musically, we have a good many songs we're either recording or currently writing. Whether we drop an album or an EP is not completely understood yet, I think. We're kind of weighing things out and seeing how Dynamite's going, and it's kind of playing things by ear at the moment. But new music is definitely on the horizon very soon, for sure. We don't have a date yet, but definitely be looking out and keeping up with our Facebook out there, and we'll be making announcements.
You know, that's the cool thing, though, about Dynamite, like, and I love the whole thing of it, where it's, you know, it's doing so well that, and it's just a single you guys have out there right now, where you really, you know, you don't have to, in this day and age, put out, like, that full length or even the EP. Like, you can just turn around, like,
nah.
I mean, it's been breathing so good, and everybody's loving it and digging it. You can just take your time and drop another single, like, in a few months.
It's true. And that's what a lot of people are doing nowadays. It's more of a, there's more of an internet marketing campaign than putting out a record and putting out an album and then touring off the album. You know, it's, if you're a band that's not constantly touring, this is a great way to do it, you know, and just keep hitting them
every
few months, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, you don't want to, like, we'll put it this way, like, blow your whole load at one shot and then be done with it.
Sure.
You know, take your time with it. Take your time and work it. Work it slow.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how about with the video? It almost about suicide, I guess. Is that what the song's about, or?
Well, for me, when I wrote the lyrics, I had a lot of premises in mind, I think. You know, second chances, taking second chances, getting over loss, getting over addiction, getting over, you know, whatever that might be. And our guitarist, Mike, he's real creative, and he's really on point with these videos and thinking of ideas. And his premise idea, he is, you know, kind of went down the suicide path for him when he listened to the song and thought about the song. And that's kind of where the video ended up going. But I think the song is for a lot of different things. And it could be for anybody, for how they feel about, you know, anything they've went through in their lives and, you know, tried to move on from.
Right. Absolutely. Now, yeah, I mean, it's a great video too. And it's deep. It may, you know, it makes you think.
It does. Yeah. Yeah. It's awesome. It's awesome.
Now, how was that? Like, is that the first time you did a video, like the whole process of it, or?
That's the first time I did a video that had a kind of a premise with it or a story with it. I've done a couple with just a band, you know, rocking out kind of thing. But, yeah, so that it was interesting process. And we were just currently filming another video recently with another kind of story premise to it. It was really fun, really cool. Really enjoyed it. So, yeah, it's been interesting. Like to the line. For sure.
Now, is that Flesh and Bones, I think I saw, is going to be the next single?
Perhaps so. We are not trying to release that yet, what's coming out,
okay.
But that may be.
Interesting. A lot of secrets going on here in any given Sin Camp. Huh?
Not trying to be secretive. Just don't want to jump the gun.
But for how about like how much does it really truly change things for you guys? Like once you start getting that airplay on a, you know, something like an Octane, like does
right,
it elevate?
Yeah.
How much does it like truly elevate things for you?
I mean, I would say from what I've seen, I mean, a lot of our numbers we're still growing, but we're new. We're right on the scene. So a lot of our numbers on Spotify, they're still lower compared to some of these big touring bands right now. But we went from a few thousand to 40,000, you know, monthly listeners on Spotify, and you know, raking around 10,000 views on our video to nearing 100K, and you know, so it's definitely been a big spike and a quick one. So Octane is a very big platform for pushing bands currently in the rock world, definitely.
Now, have you been getting like a lot of you know, like fan mail or you know, emails or whatever from like people around the world that are hearing this now?
We do. We've been getting a lot of Facebook messages, you know, things like that. You know, people saying thank you for the song and you know, that it had a positive impact in their life, or you know, maybe helping with addiction, things of that nature, and you know, or get, you know, keeping them strong through a process. And yeah, you know, it's been really heartwarming. You know, you don't expect to hear these kind of things, but you know, it's great.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, do you kind of like when you see something like that, like you sit and read it, and you kind of just like sit here, like, I'm just a guy from Virginia.
Like, yeah, it's surreal. It is. It's surreal. It really is. Very surreal. It's hard to describe. Yeah. Just a guy.
I'll tell you,
yeah,
man. It truly shows how music is, I guess, like the universal language, or how powerful it is. Yeah, mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, we had Ash Costello from New Year's Day on a few weeks ago. And my co-host Nick, his daughter is a huge fan of Ash's. And I asked her to do a little shout out to her, and my co-host played it for his daughter, and he videotaped her when she heard it, and she broke down hysterical crying. And I was just like, wow,
that's
it's just so amazing. It truly is. Like, and I get it. Like, I've been a music fan for, you know, 40 plus years now. I'm just a music nut, and you know, I get it. Like, music moves me to tears too. So I couldn't imagine having, you know, be like Ozzy Osbourne's saying hello to me when I was, you know, 16 years old. I'd be losing my mind.
Right. It's true. Totally. I felt that way when Chris Cornell passed away. I was like, oh man.
Yeah.
The whole day. I was just
right.
true. It's a big part of life.
You guys are playing June 1st in Towson, Maryland, Zen West.
That's true, yes. Zen West, June 1st, and then June 15th at Doghouse, Waynesboro, Pennsylvania. And we just today confirmed on the bill we'll be in Leesburg with Saving Abel and Tantric on July 20th, I believe.
Ah, nice. Tantric, friends of mine.
Yes. Yes. I played with him before. Hugo.
Nice.
He's a good guy.
Nice. Yeah, bass player Jaron and guitar player Sebastian are from Philly.
Excellent. Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Very cool. Nice. So, all right, well, we got to get you guys up here to Philly, man.
Love to sometime. Totally.
We're going to talk. I know your people now.
Come on down. Holler. We'd love it.
Oh, man. Absolutely. Absolutely. Vic, I mean, I'm super excited for you guys. I truly am. I'm happy for all the things, and I can't wait to hear more music and much more success from you guys. I think you're going to blow up. So I can't wait to witness it all and hear it all.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you so much, and thanks for having us on. Keep up the good work, my friend.
Absolutely. And, yeah, we'll talk more. And, come on, we're going to do it. We're going to play Dynamite right now. Let me pull this up here.
Awesome.
People need to hear this. If they haven't heard it, like, they should be ashamed of themselves because really, come on. Let's educate everybody. All right, Vic, thanks, man. And we're going to talk again soon. And here it is, everybody. Any Given Sin, Dynamite. Where should we send everybody? Where's the best place to get hold of you guys?
You can look us up on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook. We're waiting. Come on down.
There you go. I love it. Here it is. Here's Dynamite. Vic, take care. Say hello to everybody for me, and let's do it. Let's blow it up.
Will do, man. Thank you so much.
Everything gone wrong now. Nothing as it seems is ever meant to be. Now I have the world, I held it in my hand, turned it to the ground just to watch it live. And failure is an open book. Not the one that took a back out of luck. I got the motivation, like all the situations. I'm like a rocket on the ground. Why don't you blow me up like dynamite? The promised land. Too busy shaking all the devil's hand to ever find another plan. Whoa, yeah. And I've been crossed up like an intersection. No destination, lost in this direction. Everything goes, and everyone knows. Waiter and waiter, still I want to survive. Blow me up like dynamite. My head is spinning in the clouds, my feet are on the ground.
That's right. Blow It Up. Dynamite. Any Given Sin. Freaking awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Can't praise them guys enough. Got to get them up here in Philly. People need to check them out. Go Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Look for them. Any Given Sin. Like them. Love them. Follow them. They're on Spotify, iTunes, all those available outlets. Get it. Buy it. Download it. Do it. Love it. Turn it up and blow it up. There you go. So, thanks everybody for tuning in tonight. We only did a half a show tonight. Hopefully next week, everything will be much better at my co-host, Mr. Nick Wilkinson. He'll be back in full effect, hopefully. Fingers crossed. Keep those prayers and good wishes coming for him. We'll keep everybody up to date. We got a couple guests lined up next week. And, yeah, check it out. Look for us, Totally Driven Entertainment, Totally Driven Radio, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Like us, love us, follow us. Also look for Darren Polchowitz, author and podcaster. Check out his book, Good Advice from Professional Wrestling. You can get it on Amazon. And like him, love him, follow him all over the world of social media as well. And blow us all up. Come on, let's do it. Let's be like Any Given Sin. So, all right, everybody, thanks again for tuning in tonight. My name again is Bay Ragney. Look for me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And, yeah, keep the plugs coming. And remember these very important words I'm going to say to you. Stay driven. See you, everybody.